Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Thank you, Brother Eric. If you got your Bibles, open them up to the book of Exodus. And this morning, we're going to begin a three-week sermon series on the subject, Heart for Service. Amen. And I think that you're going to enjoy. The Lord spoke to me this week over some things, or kind of impressed my heart with some things this week. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. A heart for service. You know, developing in today's topic, we'll be discussing the topic. We'll be discussing the topic, developing, thank you for having it up there for me, so in case I forgot, developing a heart for service. And today I want you to focus on the fact that it is important that we do develop. It's important that we do grow, and that God desires for us to grow, and change is good, and when things get better. You ever met somebody who just doesn't like when things change? Just kind of a little grumpy and like, I just don't like this. It's new. And because it's new, it must be bad. You ever met somebody like that? I was thinking about the different things in the last decade or so that have changed as development has come into our society and how our culture has changed dramatically just in the last 10 years. It wasn't more than a decade ago, if I remember correctly, whenever Steve Jobs introduced his iPhone. You remember when he introduced his iPhone? And it was revolutionary. Cell phones had become wildly popular. But Steve Jobs, he got this iPhone. And this iPhone, you could watch movies on it. And this iPhone, it had a calculator. And this iPhone, it could tell you the weather. And now we are 5.5 or 6 generations removed from that original iPhone. But I was thinking about all the things that have developed in our culture because of that one invention. Think of all the things that the iPhone has replaced. I had the team get together several things that the iPhone has replaced. Think about this. You know, before, if you wanted to listen to music, you'd have to go get something like this. And if you were really cool like Brad, could you imagine Brad like 20 years ago with a bigger one? Kind of like on a street in Minnesota somewhere, just kind of grooving it, you know, and with a mullet and, business up front, party in the bag. You know, you just kind of thing going on. Brad, you have to pick on Brad. This week, Brad turned 40. Yeah. It's an interesting development, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, but if you wanted to listen to music, you had to listen to it through this, and you'd had to have a cassette or a CD. And some of you remember before when cassettes were like, wow, that's really cool technology. Some of you remember that, don't you? Because you used to have to play music off a Frisbee before the cassettes came in. But the iPhone came in, and now you can put hundreds of songs on one little device. And you don't have to change out. In fact, you can put together, I want to hear this song after this song, and put a playlist together. The iPhone's a great development because it's changed that. The iPhone's made certain things unnecessary. This is a Game Boy. Man, I remember when a Game Boy came out when I was 13 years old. And I got a Game Boy. And it was about the size of a brick. And I'd play that Game Boy, and it had a green and black screen. Man, those things, there's still a market for Game Boys. In fact, my daughters, they have the little Game Boy things. I don't think they're called Game Boys anymore, but they have their little personal devices. But man, that's kind of gone passé. Why? Because people are now playing Angry Birds or Crushing Candy or Clashing Clans. They're doing a number, or Flutter Birds, and they're not doing it in church, though. That's important that they don't do it in church. They got rid of that. You can do your banking all through your iPhone now. You can cash a check through your iPhone. Isn't that amazing? You can take down personal notes. So if you're someplace and someone says, jot this down, you don't need to have a piece of pen and a piece of paper and a pen. You can just type it down on your little iPhone there. You don't need a calculator anymore. You got your iPhone. You don't need a timer. You got your iPhone. You don't need a baseball glove. You got your, that, I don't know why this one's up here. I can't figure that out. Because hey, throw me the ball. It's just a, maybe one time, I guess that would work. But do you remember, if you like baseball, I like to read box scores. And so growing up, if there was a newspaper, I just like to read the box scores, see who got walked, see what their batting averages were. You don't have to go and get a newspaper for that anymore. You can find out in real time how your team is doing. Whether it's a soccer team from Madrid or a baseball team from Wisconsin, you can find out in real time what's going on. And many times through your iPhone, you can even watch it live. All of the basketball things in this March Madness thing, you could watch it live at no cost on your iPhone. Amazing. Look, we don't need books anymore because we got iPhones. We don't need, you can use your iPhone as a remote control. You can use your iPhone as an alarm clock. You can store hundreds of pictures of your grandbabies. You can put hundreds of pictures of yourself, your selfies. You can, hundreds of pictures you can store on your iPhone. How many of you do not have a home phone? Look at that. Like 50% of the, probably greater than 50% of the people in here do not even have a home phone. Why? Because they have their cell phone. Do you remember when you really wanted to see a brand new movie and you went out and you got one of these bad boys? You remember, got that VHS tape and you went and you loaded it up. The other day I got, like at a garage sale, I got a movie from like the 1980s. I was like, girls, this will be great. It was a VHS tape, got it for 50 cents. And I put it in there. And as we put it in, we're watching it. It's kind of scratchly across. And I said to my daughter, Ashlyn, I said, adjust the tracking. Do you guys remember tracking? Adjust the tracking. And she looked at me like I was from a foreign planet and said, what is tracking? And I said, it's something we used to do before the iPhone. The encyclopedia. You know, why do you need to go buy an encyclopedia? It's all right on your iPhone. How many of you, your primary camera is your phone? Yeah. How about this? I remember going, you can put your calendar is your phone now. Your phone book. Do you remember when you used to have to dial 411? 411, that's a dollar. Hello, Pizza Hut, I need a double. Meat Lovers, now. You know, for those emergencies, you'd call 411 when you needed something really quick. 411, I got my Pizza Hut. You don't need a phone book anymore. You got your iPhone. How about this? I remember countless times driving across the country. And as we're on family vacation, Dad would say, get the map. And you unleash this thing and you're looking, trying to find where you are. And as you're looking, trying to find where you are on this map, where are you? I don't know. Okay, fold it back up. Wasn't that a fun trick? And you fold it back up and you're doing the best you can. Just hand it to me. There you go. You know, it's the best you can do. And yet you don't need that anymore because we've got our iPhones. God is, it's a wonderful thing, the time that we live in and the developments that we've been able to witness in the generation that we're in. And God is all about development. And God is a God of growth. Though God is very conservative, God is a God who enjoys development. When we get to, Exodus chapter 35, when we get to Exodus chapter 35, God is about ready to upend the way he has been worshipped for over three millennia. Since the time of Adam and Eve, when you wanted to worship God, you would build an altar and you would bring a sacrifice. More often than not, that sacrifice would be a lamb. And you would bring it in an altar and you would sacrifice that lamb to God. But here God is making a brand new way to worship him. He's instituting a place of worship. And the place would be known as the tabernacle. Exodus 35 and verse number 1 shows us that God is developing a heart for service in his people. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord had commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. And that's pretty strict. Yeah, that's pretty strict. Verse 3. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. In verse number 4, Moses spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel and said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering. God said through Moses, I want you to take an offering because we're going to build this tabernacle. We're going through a time of change. We're going to develop a heart of service in a new way. I want you to grow in this new way. This is going to be a wonderful time of change and hope for us. This is what I want you to do. I want you people to bring an offering unto the Lord. Verse 5, take from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. Verse 6 says, I want you to bring different color garments, blue, purple, scarlet. I want them to be made of ram skin and dyed badger skin. Verse number 7, bring some oil and spices, he says in verse number 8. There's some precious stones I'd like, some onyx stones and to be set for the ephod. And verse number 10 says, and every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, his covering, his tachets, and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets. Now, if you fast forward just a few verses, get to verse number 21. The people leave and they return with the commandment that they had been given. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work and of the tabernacle of the congregation and for his service and for the holy garments. If you mark in the Bible, I invite you to circle that word. It's the seventh word in from the beginning. It's the word heart. And then if you go to the end, it's the sixth word from the end. And it's the word service. A heart for service. If you want to circle those two words and then can connect them with a line to demonstrate that what's happening here in the book of Exodus chapter 35 is that God is developing not only a new way and a new plan for those people, but he's giving them the opportunity to develop a heart for service. There's three words found in our text, verse number 21. There's three words that jump out to you if we want to develop a heart for service. I hope that today your heart, the emotions, the desire of your being is to serve the Lord. If you're here today, there's obviously some desire to serve the Lord. But how do we develop that heart for service? There's three words, I think, that provide the key to that, and they're found right inside the text. Let's look at verse 21 again. The Bible says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred. Let's read that again. And they came, everyone whose heart, what's the next word? Stirred. Whose heart stirred. The first word that I want you to kind of grasp this morning in developing a heart for service is this word, stirred. The word stirred here is a unique word. It's not the idea of a grandma making oatmeal cookies. I'll just have a few more minutes and it'll be done. That's not the idea. The idea is a very violent word. It's a very strong and emotional word. The Hebrew word is the Hebrew word. In fact, some of you men, you're going to like this and we're going to even practice it. It's the Hebrew word garah. Doesn't that even sound masculine? It's the Hebrew word. Let's stop the dialogue. You stop. I'm talking. Okay, good. Garah. Do you see it? It's a good, strong Hebrew. It means stirred. Garah. Say it with me. Garah. Use your best Tim Allen macho man voice. Say it. Grah. Kind of feels good, doesn't it?
Grah. I'm a man.
I am too. Grah. That's what the word means. The idea, if you want to get the idea of what grah means, imagine a whole bunch of troops sitting out there and they're sharpening their swords or they're cleaning their guns. And as they're sharpening it, everyone comes to attention real quick because an old general starts out. He comes out there and this is an old general. He's got scars on his face, perhaps a patch over his eye. And he's hobbling on one peg leg, you know. He comes out there. And all the troops are out there. He says, "Troops, today I want you to give them all you got. Garrah. And I want you to fight. Garrah. And some of you will die. We know. But do it for the glory of Rome," or, you know, or whatever country it is. And you see this guy going, "Garrah." And as he's out there, he's motivating people. And at first, they were just polishing their shields and they were sharpening their knives. But after he's done, everyone's like, "Yeah, I'm going to go kill somebody. I want to get bloody." Garrah! That's the idea with what's going on here. It's a very violent, it's a very strong word. The idea is something is inciting these people to action. I thought about garrah. And I thought, how often are we motivated by many different things? Our motivations come from a number of different factors. Sometimes we're motivated by illness. Sometimes we're motivated by sleep. Sometimes we're motivated by money. But here we find a group of people who are motivated by obedience to the word of Almighty God. And they allowed the word of God and obedience to Almighty God to bring them to a place where their heart was just stirred. They wanted to do something. They wanted to build something. They wanted to please their God. And it stirred them up so much when Moses came out and said, "Hey, we need some onyx stones." "Oh, I got that." "Hey, we need some gold." "Oh, I got that too. Hey, we need some of this because the Lord's commanded we build a tabernacle. We're developing a new way to serve him. It's a time for us to have a heart for service." And they said, "Yeah, I want to be involved with that." Oh, yeah. And the word of God motivated them. Does the word of God motivate you? When God gives a command, is it something that we want to do, or do we find an excuse for why we're not able? It's easy to get stirred about corporate things, but I believe that many times God wants us to individually become stirred about our walk with him. Have you been stirred by God? Has God spoken to you? I believe when the voice of God speaks to us, a couple of things will happen. Number one, he'll demonstrate to us that he's big. God is powerful. God is a big God. He's not a weak God. There are times as Christians that I think we get a little too self-focused and we look at the circumstances and the conundrums of our day and we feel like there's no hope or there's no way out. I want you to understand that our God is powerful. On a Thursday night, I started putting my shoes on and the girl said, "Where are you going?" Because if I'm putting my shoes on, I'm going someplace. I said, "I'm going to go get the mail." And Charlotte, my six-year-old, said, "Can I go with you?" "Sure." So we have one of those community mailboxes, you know. So we walk 3 miles over to the mailbox. And we got the mail out and we started walking back. And Charlotte looked up and said, "Wow, there's a lot of stars out tonight." I said, "Yeah." And we started to talk about what a big God our God is. Our God is big, isn't he? That great big God, when we start to understand his power, we start to understand his love. Think about the fact that that great big God who created those stars, who put trees out of nothing, who made the vast oceans and created everything that is, he knows your name. Man, I don't know your name. But God knows your name. And not only does he know your name, he loves you. He loves you so much that he demonstrated that love in becoming a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He died on a cross to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. And the Bible tells us they buried him, but 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, proving that he was God and that everything he said was true. That great, big, powerful, wonderful, amazing, holy, pure God, he loves you. And I think whenever we start to get stirred, we'll see that the Lord, the God of heaven, oh, he's big. He loves me, but not only does he love me, he wants to use me to make a difference. You ever think about the fact that God wants to use you to make a difference? God wants you to impact your generation. I think sometimes we allow Satan to give us a straw to look through. And we think that this is all I'm meant to do is look through this straw and fulfill this little thing for however many years God gives me. And it's not that big of a deal. But we forget that God wants to use our lives to make a difference. But we'll never be able to be stirred. We'll never have that difference made in our lives until we start to follow what the second word is. Look at our text again. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made, what's the next word? Willing. God wants willing individuals. He doesn't want us just to be motivated and stirred and like, oh, that excited about something. God wants us to be in a place where we are willing to serve him. One thing that I found common among believers, and you've experienced this as well, is that many times we feel inadequate for the task that we've been given. So a call goes out to, hey, we're going to go soul winning this Saturday. I don't know how, somebody might ask me something. Oh, I can't do that. Somebody might, I don't know, I don't even know where to find Habakkuk in the Bible. Because many people, when you go door to door, they ask you about Habakkuk. It's just crazy. So it's trending right now. And it's crazy. You know, but Satan comes along and in his lies, he says, Wilfred, you can't do that. And we allow Satan to defeat us. No, that's not for me. That's for those people. And we allow the lies of Satan to come along and say, oh, you're too old or you're too young or you're just too busy or you're not adequate enough. And what we do is we quench the work of God in our life. And we're not trying to deliberately be disobedient. We're just not being willing. And I remind you that God Almighty is not looking for the perfect person to accomplish his will. It was not the perfect person that stood at the Valley of Elah with nothing but a slingshot and stood at the face of a 9.5-foot giant. That wasn't like everyone's like, yeah, that's the guy. No one picked him in their bracket. Yet God used David to wipe out Goliath. I'll remind you that it wasn't the perfect person. It was a murderer who has been shepherding for the last 40 years in the backside of the desert doing nothing that God appeared to in a form of a burning bush. And when he said, I can't do nothing. He said, what is in your hand? He says, I got a rod. And with that rod, God would part a Red Sea. God's not looking for people that are credentialed. God's not looking for people who've got it all together. God just needs some people who are willing. There wasn't a whole bunch of stock that was going on in that little 12-year-old as he was leaving his mama's house. But as he was leaving his mama's house to go hear the words of Jesus, perhaps so he could get out of trouble, perhaps so he could get out of school. But his mom packed him a little bitty lunch. It was a happy meal made up of 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. And as Jesus was about ready to disband because there was no food, the disciples were ready to start singing, make me a servant, and dismiss every single person. The little boy was called upon. Hey, do you have some lunch? Oh, I got us 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. And God took the 5 loaves, he took the 2 fishes, and he fed 5,000 people. Why? Because there was a little boy who was willing. And if we are just willing to be used of God, we can see great things happen. God's not looking for the perfect person with a PhD. God's not looking for the guy with a six-figure income. He's not waiting for you to get off of food stamps. He's waiting for you to be willing to be used of God. And if you'll be willing to be used of God, oh, that heart for service can compound in so many ways. God wants you. God can use you. Is he stirring your heart? Is there a difference you can make? Are you willing to let him work? Are you willing to do what he's called you to do? If you are, notice what happens next. The third word, verse 21 again. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the, what's the next word? Work. To the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. For all his service and for the holy garments. You know, once we're willing, from a heart that's been stirred, God's always going to put us to work. What's the work that you're doing for God? Well, I came to church today. That's not work for God. That's you being blessed. What's the work that you're doing for God? God wants all of us to work. And when he stirs our hearts, there will be a willing heart of obedience that says, okay, Lord, but it will take an action of work. Where's the work that God wants to put you to? Where's the labor that he wants to put your hands to? God wants you to work. He wants me to work. He wants us to be busy about his business. You know, work's never been a bad thing. Before the fall of man, whenever Adam sinned, prior to his fall, there was work. Work brings satisfaction. Work brings pleasure. Legos has just recently started to make girl Legos. You seen these girl Legos? They got princesses and ponies. They're brilliant. They've made billions of dollars off of boys. Now they're going to go for their sisters. And parents will be stepping on them in the middle of the night for years to come. So we got these girl Legos now at our house, because I have three girls and Luke, he's not into Legos anything right now. So he's a 5-month-old boy. So we got these girl Legos, and from time to time the girls will make these little Lego houses for their princesses and their dolls, and they make these Lego houses and they bring them to me. And when they bring me their Lego houses, they always say this, "Hey Dad, look what I built." Now I want you to know, none of the houses are necessarily inhabitable. They've not gone through proper zoning and permits. I wouldn't recommend any of you buy any of them necessarily. But whenever they present them, they're saying, "Dad, look what I built." And there's a great sense of satisfaction about showing off to their dad, "Look what I did." You know, when we get busy to work, there's something about being able to show our Heavenly Father, "Hey, look what I did." And not out of a sense of vainglory or proud, egotism. But isn't there something neat about being able to go to your dad and saying, "Look what I built"? And that happens when we work. In Matthew chapter 25, the parable is told. Of a man who has three servants. He's going on a journey, and so to the first servant, he gives 5 talents. To the second servant, he gives 2 talents, and to the third servant, he gives 1. Do you remember the story? The first servant, he takes the 5 talents, and he turns it into how many talents? 10, that's exactly right. He doubles the talents. He went out, and he did some work, and he took those 5 talents, and he doubled it. The second servant, he took 2 talents, and he doubled those talents as well, and he got 4 talents. The third servant, at that day of reckoning, whenever the master came back, he said to the servant, "What have you done?" He said, I know you're a mean man, and you gather where you didn't harvest and didn't want to lose any of your money. Well, what did you do with my money? I went out and I took a shovel and I buried it. This morning when I found out you're coming back, I unburied it. He didn't do any work. He didn't do any work. He saw what everybody else was doing. I'm sure he applauded it. The risk was too great. The ratios weren't where he wanted to be. He was waiting for the right time. But he did no work. The Bible tells us that the Lord, the master, was displeased with him. In fact, he took that talent and he gave it to the one who had done a great deal of work, the man who now had 11 talents. And he said to that man with the many talents, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Someday, every single one of us will stand before Almighty God. It's just a fact. You can't escape it. There's no escape door. Every single one of us will stand before Almighty God. When we do, I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Don't you? That commendation is given to the man who was busy working. At some point, his heart was stirred. He had a willing heart, but he was busy doing the work. What's the work that God wants you to accomplish? What's the work that God has for you? Sure, this Saturday could be a start as we develop a heart for service together. And I think that's a wonderful place for us to start. But understand, God wants you, to be involved in his service. He has a job, work for you. And if we are willing to be stirred, God will always put us to work. A heart for service. If I want to develop a heart for service, it takes three things according to this verse. Number one, I need to be stirred. Is God working in your life? Number two, I need to be willing. Number three, I got to understand it's going to be some work if I'm to develop a heart for service. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's found in it. I ask, Lord, that you would help me to develop a heart for service. Lord, may each of us leave here with a desire to serve you more. Father, I pray that we'd leave here challenged. I pray that you would have stirred our hearts. Father, I pray that you would have give us a willing heart and a heart that's ready to work. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.